Sets the stage many times for preaching. And, you can have preaching without music. Amen? And you can have music without preaching, but they go hand in hand, I believe. It's a good thing to have good, solid music when you're going to have a meeting in a house of God. And it's good when you can have a good piano player.
Praise.
I'm still waiting for one to show up here, but it's good when you end off. Amen? That's great, Oh no, brother! I can't even play the stinking chopsticks. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. I sat down on the piano one time and I tried my hand at a lot of different things. You know, pick up a guitar and just had no interest. You know, sat down on the piano and found middle C and pinked around a little bit and no interest. You know. And a friend of mine, Wally Hallberg, I don't know if anybody ever met Wally Hallberg. He's 80 years old now, I think, you know, and ain't long for this world, I don't think. And but he played a saw. So, you know, he'd sit in a chair and he'd take that saw and put it between his legs and bring the end out here, and then he wouldn't use a little hammer, he would use a 3/4 bolt on that thing. And so his son has perfect pitch. And so when we're down that area in a meeting in their church, his son will come up and play, and his mother will just start. He'll have that thing right where he every time when he starts. It's phenomenal. So he gave me a saw one time. You know, he says, I got a musical saw. He says, I'll give it to you. And he says, I'll even give you the 3/4 bowl for it. And he did, and I rosin that thing up and put that saw between my leg and tore my brand new pants. So needless to say, that was the last time I even tried that. And I got amazing out, and I couldn't even hit grace, and I lost the thing, you know. So I said, that's it, I'm done with it. Yeah, I have a hard time playing the radio, let alone anything else. Amen. Now, I got to thinking, brother, they got a camper coming, you know, and there's a house. You're not the only two excited, Tracy.
Yeah, they have a camper.
Amen. Romans chapter 1 with me this evening. It's good to have fun in the house of God. I heard a preacher say last year, brother, because a friend of mine, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Seminole String Band from Seminole Baptist Church down in, I believe they're down in, I think they were from Missouri or down Arkansas or something like that. And they would come in, they would sing, do gospel music, and I mean, they got one of the big basses up here, and they got a fiddle, and they got a mandolin, and they got a guitar. I mean, it's a seminal string. They're off the road right now, but their daughter and her husband traveled with them, and they had a couple extra kids, and so they had to do something different. But I had all. But he said the same thing I just said, that, you know, music's good because it sets the stage many times for the preaching of the Word of God. And the next preacher got up there and just ripped him up one side and down the other and said, music does not set the premise for preaching the Word of God. Amen. And I think I was out there, and he did not get one amen out of that crowd of preachers. That was over Brother Shadines when he said that, Jenny. Just a year ago, you know, and I thought, man, you walking on some shaky water here. You know, you might not get asked back to preach at this church, amen, because I know the pastor. And I think, you know, sometimes you might believe certain things, but sometimes it's just better off to shut your stinking mouth, amen, and not say a word, and not say a word about it. Just, unless you're in a group, brother, that believes like you believe, don't say a word about it. Let that thing hang out there and let it go, amen. And pick your battles, you know, and he made a battle that time. I want to tell you what, boy, it got awful quiet in that room that night. And I believe that music does have an instrumental part in the worship of God, and in setting, it does help set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. There's been many times somebody has sung a song, and that song had exactly what I was going to preach on. You know, it didn't happen tonight, but no, I mean exactly what I was going to preach on, because you can't go wrong with good music. Amen. And well, I thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for your music. Thank the Lord for your ability and you're true to the Scriptures with it. I appreciate that. Amen. And I have to worry about coming in here and hearing a bunch of upbeat with a set of drums and stuff in the background, you know. I know you don't do that when I'm here, Pastor. You probably do when I'm not here, but I'm just saying, no, I know better.
You said we couldn't bring him tonight.
Yeah, I don't think. Amen. I'd like to speak to you on this subject this evening here in Romans. Did I tell you already? Tell you Romans? All right, Romans chapter 1 is where I want to go. I haven't even got there myself. I'm shooting off my mouth and haven't got where I need to go. Romans chapter 1. Last year I was here, and in Sunday school I preached a message on prayer. And I preached a message out of Romans chapter 1. And it's a series of messages that I do. I don't know if I'll get through the series this year or not. But I want to take off tonight with this thought in our Christian life. And I wrote down the title of my message, and it might be tomorrow night, the night after that, I don't know yet. We'll see what happens. But tonight, the Lord burdened my heart with this morning, and I sat in my chair from about 7:30 to noon before I finally closed up my iPad and my Bible and felt like I was done with going over this, you know, again. But the characteristics of a Christian, you know, characteristics of a Christian. Now, there should be some things that would characterize you when people meet you and know you. The word, in fact, let's read. Let's stand and read. All right, then I'll be done. I'll get out of the way and we'll get into the word. He says, verse 7, he said, to all that be in Rome, those beloved believers, amen, those who got saved, many, many under Paul's ministry in Rome, amen. Well, Paul's there preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in chains. And you remember he led Philemon to the Lord in Rome while he's in chains. And he says here, he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer. Last year we talked about that characteristic of prayer. We're going to leave off there, and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, thank you for your precious words. I pray tonight, God, you would use this text to help us, Father, to help us get a better understanding and a closer relationship with you, Lord. oh God, that we might praise your precious name for all that you have done in our lives and be thankful to you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I just lost my place in my Bible. I got to get back over there. Amen. I know Romans is in here somewhere. Amen. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. All right, I got it. Just trying to keep Dave on his toes because he would probably say Exodus. It's right after Exodus somewhere. Right. Amen. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse 8 again, where he says right at the beginning of this verse, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now, let me just stop there for a little bit. I'd like to talk tonight for you a little bit about being thankful. Being thankful. Now, that term characteristic means this. It's not here in the text, by the way. Amen. It's a word out of the dictionary. And it means this. It means being a feature that helps to distinguish a person or being distinctive. For instance, if you saw a picture of my granddad, Pastor, and I looked like my granddad looked. No hair, big, and my same facial features as my grandfather had. And he died when I was 16 years old. But I looked like my granddad. And my aunts always say, you look just like Dad. You look just like Dad. You look just like Dad. So I'm one of the only grandkids that turned out looking like him and his size, amen. I got one cousin, my one uncle's son, and he only comes up to hear on me. His name is Butch. He takes after his mom. His mom was only like 4'5" or 4'7", something like that. She was a short little dinky thing. My uncle was like 6'2", you know. I don't know how in the world they got along. If you put her arm around her, his armpit is stinking her nose, I think, you know. But she's just a little dinky thing. But Butch is the same size. So I'm the one that looks like granddad, built like granddad, acts like granddad, I guess. Amen. My grandfather got saved 1 year before he died in an old-fashioned tent meeting down in West Virginia. My grandma got saved the same week, and they both got baptized the next week after that. Amen. And he said, you never saw such a change in a man's life when my granddad got saved. Now, I never knew my granddad got saved until, well, after I got saved. I didn't know that. I never saw him before he died. I didn't see him maybe 2 years or 3 years before he died. My grandfather grew up, he was a mean man to my uncles. He used to take him out in the barn and horsewhip him when he did something wrong. That was my granddad down in West Virginia. You just didn't mess with grandpa, you know. And we were kids, we were throwing rocks out at the cows one day, and he started chasing us down the road. My brother and I, my Aunt Wanda come and grabbed us in her bare feet and took off running down the road, dragging us through the gravel, and said, you better get out of here. Grandpa's going to kill you. Amen. And I have no idea what grandpa would do that to me, you know, but Aunt Wanda said, you'll be hurt when he's done. Let's go. And when I went back, he finally calmed down, I guess. I don't know. But being a feature that helps distinguish a person or being distinct. A feature that helps to identify, to tell apart, or describe recognizably a distinguishing mark or trait. There should be something, some mark, some trait in your life, some trait in your Christian life that distinguishes you different than the world. They should see something about you that points them to Jesus Christ. They should see something about you that makes them think there is something different about you. You ever meet somebody in a restaurant sometimes and they're in front of you in line or they're sitting at a table and you just think there's something different about that person, amen? And usually you sit there and you watch them and they'll bow their head and they'll pray. And we walk over, we talk to them and we thank them that they took time to pray and thank God, amen? But that's what they do sometimes. People need to be thankful, amen? And we ought to be thankful. It ought to be a characteristic of a born-again believer. That word thankful means to be grateful. It means to express gratitude. It means to say, if you look up a dictionary, it even means in 1828, to say grace at a meal. Amen. To say grace at a meal. And you'll find that in Exodus 2, brother. Amen. The same. In Luke chapter 17, verse 16, it says this. Remember, there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers that came to Christ and got healed. You remember, and the 10 lepers went away. 9 of them never came back. 1 leper came back. Look what it says. And fell down on his face. 1 leper came back and thanked him. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And the Bible says this about that leper. And he was a... anybody know? Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. You know, so here's one that the Jewish people hated. They hated the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with the Samaritans. To them, they were almost like lepers. They were unclean. They go across the side of the road and down the other side of the street, not even help the one that's laying half in the ditch, half dead. Amen. They didn't have nothing to do with them. And here, it was a Samaritan who came back and worshiped the Lord and thanked him. I always wondered if the other nine were Jewish people. I don't know, brother. Amen. I just wonder that. Amen. They were Jews that got saved, but a lot of people get saved, and they don't seem like they're very thankful for their Christian lives. Amen. Psalm chapter 107, verse 1 says, "We'll give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." We ought to give him thanks because his mercy endureth forever. "We'll give thanks unto the Lord," in Psalm 118, 1, "for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." The same exact words, two places in the scripture. In verse 29, it says, "We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Three times in a row, we see in the book of Psalms the same exact words. He makes that statement. In Psalm 136, verse 1, it says, "We'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." You think God wants you to know something about giving thanks to him?
Amen.
I think so, amen. And then he makes a statement, "Don't give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." In Psalm 136:1, 136:2, 136:3, 136:26, they all say the same exact thing. What is that? It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I stopped at that, and I'm sure there's probably more, amen. But I just look at those real quick in the Word of God. And then Psalm 140, verse 13 says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name." The righteous. Are you made righteous in Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we give thanks unto God? Amen. Shouldn't we thank him regardless of where we're at? Regardless if we're in the bank and the Lord just speaks to your heart about something, shouldn't we just even maybe bow our head right there and say, "Oh God, thank you, amen." And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ that saved you and saved me. If you're at the gas station and God and you look down and you see a quarter on the you pick it up, that's a quarter you didn't have. Maybe you have to stop for a minute and thank God. Maybe he'll bring you $100 bill that way, amen. My wife and I got out of a car one time. We're walking across the street in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, when I was pastor, make $100 a week in 1986, amen. $100 a week, had a little partially, but I paid the utilities in that parsonage. My propane was $75 a month on a rotating schedule with them. And didn't hardly have two nickels to rub together. We got out of the car going to do something, and it was before my wife started working a job cleaning homes. She'd make more money than I would to start cleaning houses, amen. And we were in a college town. And when she gets out of the car, we're walking, she hears something, she looks down, and there's a $20 bill. Hallelujah! I tell you what, that was a good lunch that day, amen. You know, God's good.
Amen.
Well, just thank God. But when I got picked up that 20, I don't remember standing there and saying, "Thank you, Lord." I don't remember doing that. But boy, I would do it today. Amen. Just thank the Lord. We need to learn to thank God continually. Sing unto the Lord, he says in Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. We heard that tonight, amen. Singing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance. Give thanks, listen, at the remembrance of his holiness. God, you're holy. Thank you, God, that you never stepped off your throne and went in and followed the ungodly things of the world. God, thank you for being holy. Thank you for being righteous. Thank you for being pure. Thank you for making it possible for me to be saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, I tell you, we need to thank God. Psalm chapter... In fact, let's just go. The word thankful, let me say this to you. The word thankful only appears... The word itself, thankful, those letters only appear in the scriptures three times. Once in Psalms, once in Romans, and then once in the book of Colossians. I think it's Psalms chapter 100, I got it written down, I know it is. 100 and verse 4, Romans 1:21, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. But it's associated with many other words. It appears as the word thanks 71 different times in the Bible. So its root word, thanks, appears 71 different times in the Scripture. And then you have unthankful in the Scripture, amen? But it makes a statement. I want to read this to you for a little bit. Go with me to the book of Psalms. Number one, I want to look at the attitude for a few moments of unthankfulness. Amen? Attitude of unthankfulness. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy in your Bibles. 2 Timothy. And over in the book of 2 Timothy tonight, let me find my place here. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. He makes a statement in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Down in verse 2, he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of these that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, watchers, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." But you know what? They're unthankful, amen. They're unthankful. And then he goes on to say, "For of the sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jabez withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested to all men, as theirs also was." They are unthankful. Now I've heard this scripture used, and I probably use it this way myself. It does not sound like the society today, amen, but that was society 2,000 years ago. That has never changed. Society has always been like that. And God, be honest with you, Pastor, we say sometimes it's worse today than it ever has been. It's really not. It's not really worse in the world today. It might be worse in some areas of our country, but it's not worse anywhere else in the world than what it ever has been. Oh, we're seeing more persecution and more things. But what do you think they went through in the new church in Jerusalem when they were taken out and they were drawn and quartered, when they were like Peter and hung upside down on a cross, when they were sawn asunder? Oh, well, that was a bad time, amen. It was bad back then, Pastor. And he said, but these individuals who are talking about being believers, he said they were unthankful, and this is what they were. They had a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In Romans chapter 1, I talked to you about that word thankful in there, unthankful there, thankful there, because they knew not God, 1:21. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Listen, if they weren't thankful, what were they? Unthankful, amen. If they're not thankful, then they're unthankful. "But became vain in their imaginations and foolish, and their foolish heart was darkened." The idea of foolish means that they were morally wicked. That vain and morally wicked, they're foolish and ungodly. They were impure and they were unthankful as individuals in that scripture, as that passage of text there, you know. And then he makes a statement, Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But watch what he says here. "But love your enemies." How many of you have enemies? Amen. He says, love, but love your enemies. Amen. Watch what he goes on to say. He says, "And do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest." Now watch. We hear the beginning of that verse preached, Pastor. I've heard it a number of times. Listen to what it says at the end of that verse. "For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." Man. You mean I'm supposed to be kind too? Yeah. Amen. The Bible says we are to be as He is. Amen. And the Bible says that He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount for a moment. Amen. Over there in the book of Matthew and chapter 5. Now look with me as we look at Matthew chapter 5. Beginning, we're going to read verse 45 through verse 48 to the end of the chapter there. He says this in verse 45. "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His," what? "Sun to rise on the evil." He's good even to the unthankful and to the evil, amen. He said He makes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?" Well, we didn't love God before He loved us, amen. He loved us first, amen. Right. He said, What good are you if you're not like that? "You're not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. It doesn't. You know that term. You're not. You can't be perfect as a believer, but you can't be in Christ. Amen. There's going to be things you're going to choose to do that aren't right, and anger, bitterness, a lot of things are going to come your way sometimes, and you might not even be thankful sometimes. But aren't you glad that God forgives you? Amen.
Amen.
And listen, if He can forgive you, He can forgive anybody.
Amen.
That's right. Come on.
Father which is in heaven is perfect, even as our Father which is in heaven is perfect, He says. There has to be an attitude of thankfulness, not unthankfulness. I got the thing I was preaching one time out in over on the other side of the state, Wingdale, New York, with Brother Bacino. I think I talked about him the other day a little bit in here, and what a character he is. He had standing room only in the church that night. It was the last night on Wednesday night. 122 people were out. They seated about 82 people, maybe, tightly in the church. It's not that big of a building, amen. Although they did build a balcony area later, and that did help. And so there were two guys standing in the back of the church, and I made the statement from the pulpit. I said, if God can save Mike Patterson, He can save anybody. And these two guys started chuckling back in the wall. Not disrespectfully. They just looked at each other and started laughing a little bit. And when I was all done preaching, they walked up to me and said, you know, you saw us laughing. I said, I saw you. And they said, we weren't laughing at you. We were laughing at what you said. So what did I say? They said, you said if God could save Mike Patterson, He could save anybody. And our brother-in-law's name is Mike Patterson. If God could save him, He could save anybody. Amen. That's what they were laughing about. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We don't have an attitude of unthankfulness. We need to have an attitude of thankfulness. That's the next thought. Not unthankful, but thankfulness. And the Scripture has a lot to say about being thankful and a lot about thankfulness. It says in the book of Psalms chapter 100, verse 4. That's another verse where you see the term thankful in the Scriptures. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. Bless His name. Now, I heard somebody tell me one time, you can't bless the name of God. Well, the Bible says I can. Amen.
Amen.
That means I adore Him. That means I worship Him. That means I fall down before Him. That means I honor Him, Pastor. And not just being what I say, but love being what I do. Amen. I ought to be thankful, not just with my tongue, but with my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. That was the other text we looked at, and it said, I told you where it said thankful in that. Verse 15 says this, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Well, you're called in one body. I get to thinking about that thought, and be ye thankful. Not only should you be thankful as an individual, personally, but you ought to be thankful as a church. Amen. Well, there shouldn't be a day go by that you don't thank God that you have a place to meet here in Dresden, amen, and to be a testimony in this community and to be a testimony of that people that go into that church across the street, amen. I remember I was preaching in New Britain, Connecticut when Tabernacle Baptist Church first started, and Pastor Skip Colby was there, and it was a downtown. They were renting a building, brother, downtown on the corner, and I would pull in and unload my stuff, and I go into the building, and they would have the door open, but they also had out on the corner of the door out there, they had an outside speaker that was there before they bought the property. He just wired into it, amen. And so when I would preach, it would blast out into the community on Main Street and downtown New Britain, Connecticut, amen. And so people up the street were complaining, and so the city came to him and said, you have to shut that speaker off. He said, I'll tell you what. He says, you go over here and walk right across to that man. You tell that man over there that he has to shut his wicked music off that he's got blaring out on the street with his speaker outside because he was a rock star or rock music store owner there, you know. And he would blast his music out all the time. So we just out-preached the music, amen. Yeah, you know what? And we actually had people come in off the street because of the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You ought to be thankful you have a place to meet. You say, well, the town of Dresden gives us a hard time. So what? You ought to be thankful you have a place to meet, you know. You say, they want us out here. So what? Praise the Lord. Amen. It means you're doing something right. You ought to be thankful that you have a place to meet. And then if you can't meet in here, I see a little gazebo out there that I heard you were the first ones that meant in it, amen. After the city said that if we build that, you know, the Baptist church is going to use it all the time. And you were the first ones out there. Hallelujah, amen. Guess what? You had a place to meet, praise the Lord. And you ought to be thankful that God has allowed you to start this church here, and then for God to bring your pastor here now, and then for God to keep the doors open, amen. I don't know how you do it, and I'm sure you don't know how you do it sometimes either, but that's God, amen. God is good all the time, and all the time,
God is good.
Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and verse 7 says this: As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk in Him. You want to be thankful? Listen, let your life show how thankful you are about God, amen, what He has done in your life. Let your life, let your face know it, number one, amen. And then let people know it. Don't be afraid to tell people that you're saved. And if somebody says, well, you're always smiling, you ought to be, but you're always smiling, you ought to say, well, yeah, I got a reason to smile. What's that? Well, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, amen. I can't think of the preacher's name now. It'll come to me in a little bit. Jenny's the old preacher, came to our conference one time and been to the IFFP conference a few times, Dr. Tom Wallace. Yeah, I don't know if you know who Tom Wallace is, pastor, but he pastored down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee for years, and he's ancient, amen. But he, you know, he has just a unique way. He was sitting on a plane one day, him and his wife were always with somebody, and somebody said, how you doing? He said, we're doing good. My wife and I, we're going to heaven. You're going to heaven? Yeah, when we die, we're going to heaven. Can I tell you how you can go to heaven when you die? He just has a way about him. He said, I'm sitting on the airplane. There's a lady sitting next to me. And I'm talking to her about the Lord. My wife's sitting in between us. And a stewardess says something. I said, we're on our way to heaven. You know, yeah. Well, yeah, we're saved. We're going to heaven when we die. You want to know how? And the lady sitting next to him had ordered a beer. And she was drinking a beer. And she starts sobbing, sitting there, and says, I need to get rid of this and get saved. Amen. You know, be a testimony for Jesus. I mean, he's always seems like he's got a smile on his face about something, you know. I wish I always had a smile on my face. Amen. I look in the mirror and I laugh. Amen. But yeah, have a smile on your face. He says, in Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding. Now, I tell you what, many of us like to be abounding in money, amen. How would you wouldn't mind that, would you, if you're abounding in money?
Amen.
But we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Some of us are abounding in weight, but we ought to be abounding in thanksgiving.
That's right.
We ought to be abounding in thanksgiving with God, amen. I mean, that means that there ought to be an overabundance of it. An overabundance of joy, an overabundance of happiness, an overabundance of thankfulness in your life as a believer in Christ.
Amen.
Don't just thank Him when you get up in the morning, thank Him throughout the whole day. Amen. God, thank you. Lord, thank you. I can take a nap. Go out. Hallelujah. I mean, thank Him. Okay. Thank you for waking me up, Lord. Amen. I thought this was my last breath. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying, we ought to be thankful as believers in Christ. It seems like we have put thankfulness off to the side, but that's a characteristic. Paul had this I thank God always for you. Making prayer for you always, he says. I thank God for you always, always, always. Paul had the characteristic of thankfulness, amen. I'm not saying we should pattern our life after Paul. We need to pattern our life after the Bible. Thankfulness, amen. The scripture has a lot to say. Paul knew what the Word of God said, amen. He understood it. He knew it because he spent time with the Lord in prayer. He spent time with the Lord in fellowship. He spent time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, dealing with Him and teaching Him. Even when he said, I do the things I should and the things I should do, I don't do, amen.
That's right.
Well, I tell you. Paul understood what it meant to be thankful. And we ought to be thankful as believers in Jesus Christ. He says in Psalm chapter 96, verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Sing unto Him. Bless His name. Just thank Him and show forth His salvation in your thankfulness to Him day by day. Look at Psalm 103 with me, the book of Psalms and the 103rd Psalm this evening, please. Psalm 103. He says in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfiest thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Well, I don't know. I'd like to have my youth renewed, amen. But I thank God I can take another breath every day and get up and walk, amen, and still get out of bed. "The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." The idea of plenteous in mercy means that there is more than enough to go around. More than enough, amen. More than enough for you, Brother Dave. More than enough for me. By the way, more than enough for every man, woman, and child that's ever been born on the face of this earth. God has more than enough mercy to extend to the whole wide world. You know what? We ought to be thankful for that. God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, God, for extending me a little bit of that mercy that You have. By the way, can I say this? I said that, but let me say it this way. He didn't extend to you a little mercy. He extended to all His mercy. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. And there's enough to go around for everybody else too. Isn't God good? Man, what a wonderful God we have. And then, thirdly, let's have an attitude of giving thanks. Let's have an attitude of giving thanks. In Psalm chapter 140, verse 13, it says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Listen again. Surely the righteous. Who's that today? That should be me and you, amen. You're made righteous in Christ Jesus. You don't survive on your righteousness, amen. Your righteousness does not make you holy, but holiness will make you righteous. It's your righteousness is because of Jesus Christ and what He's done, not because of what you do. So He makes a statement, surely the righteous, those that God has saved, today we will look at, those who God has saved, those who God has called out of eternal damnation, He says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34 says this, "I'll give thanks unto the Lord." Here you go again, remember we started those verses earlier? He says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." That's found in the book of Chronicles, amen. Not just in the book of Psalms. That's the book of Chronicles. "For His mercy endureth forever." He said, "Give thanks." He said, "I will give thanks." He says in Psalm 35:18, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people." But we ought not to be afraid to give thanks in the congregation of God, amen. You come in here. Well, you say, "Well, I sing praises to God." Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you do, amen. Even if you can't sing, Brother Tracy, sing, amen, hallelujah. You told me you can't sing. I'm just saying, and I'm sort of helping you out here, brother. You know, just and but you know, and I think I can hear him sing back there. You know, I think maybe. Well, that might have been Deborah was off key. I don't know. Just love you guys. Just kidding. Yeah, amen. But he says, "I will give thanks in the great congregation." Well, not to be afraid to thank God in the house of God, amen. Sometimes the Lord will just speak to me and somebody's preaching. I'll just say, "Thank you, Lord." Right in the middle of the preaching, brother, because just thank you, Lord. Because that's what I need to hear that. I needed that. That was either an encouragement or a challenge, amen. It was either a challenge or a conviction, amen. Sometimes it's a conviction or maybe a spanking, amen. And thank you, Lord, because I needed that. God, You got my attention. Amen. And I'm thanking You for that, amen. By the way, when God gets your attention, when you're reading the Word of God, maybe you ought to stop for a second and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Amen. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." Among the people. Make known His deeds. I like it when your pastor every night says, "Anybody have a word of testimony?" You're making known your deeds among the people, amen. Or the deeds of others, or you're praying for somebody else, or you're praising the Lord and thank Him for that. To thank God, thank you that I even have a tongue where I can lift up my voice to you and praise to you, amen. In Psalm, David says in Psalm 119, verse 62, he makes this statement. He says, "At midnight." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm asleep, and I don't wake up at midnight, amen. If I go to bed at 11, I wake up at 2 or 2:30. If I go to bed at 9, I wake up at about 11:30 or 12. I might wake up at midnight then. But I don't set my alarm clock to wake up at midnight. And I don't think David had to set his alarm clock. I think he says this. He said, "At midnight I will rise." And I think that he meant at midnight he will rise. He says, "I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." Because of who God is and how He judges and what He has done and what He has allowed. He said, "I'm going to rise at midnight and give Him thanks for His righteous judgments." Amen. You ever thank God for a judgment in your life? Amen. Tell me your own mind. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, he said, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." And then he says, "But rather giving of what? Thanks. But rather giving of thanks." And we like to joke and we like to have a good time. That's not what he's dealing with. We need to be careful, but we need to give thanks. Give thanks to a holy God. Ephesians 5:20 says, "Giving thanks always for all, listen, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." He said all things. You're laying in a hospital bed. All things. Pinned under a tractor. All things, amen. Thank you, Lord, you didn't kill me, amen. Hallelujah. Falling off a trailer roof. I'm working on my one trailer I got a job for you on Thursday morning too, Tracy. A wife told me, amen. So I'm just passing the word. Hallelujah. I was on my roof trailer out in Maine back in probably about 1995 or somewhere around there. And I was up on top of that roof and the pastor was out and he was painting my slide out edge. It was some oil paint on the metal there because it was getting rusty and he cleaned it all up. And I'm up on the roof and I'm throwing water down and soap down and I'm washing that rubber roof. And it did real good. I mean, man, it was a cool day, but a nice day out. And I went to step off of the roof onto the slide out so I could wash the slide out, that front slide out. I'd already done the back slide out, you know, and that other one had two big slide outs on it. So I get up on the roof and I go to step off, and guess what? It was a lot farther than what I thought. And so now I'm like this, and I got a bucket in my hand, and I let the bucket go, and I just kept going. And I went over the edge of that slide out, about 8.5 feet up in the air, over the edge of that slide out, starting to go head first. And I grabbed that edge of that slide out, and I pendulum passed. And I went down, and my foot went, I think my toes touched my shin on my foot. I'm not kidding you, man. I hurt my ankle and landed flat on my back. I'm laying on my back. And my wife sees me out there. She comes out and says, "Are you all right?" I can't answer her, amen. I can't, you know, no. But I was alive, amen. I was alive. Well, even thank God that we survived things, amen. In our own incapable judgment of doing dumb things sometimes. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the sharpest tack in the box sometimes, amen, or the brightest light, you know. I'm just saying, giving thanks always for all, no matter what it is, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said in Psalm chapter 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord." I like that, amen. He didn't say if you can sing. He didn't say if you might be able to sing. He didn't say, hey, I had a fellow one time, Brother Dave, when I was going into evangelism. And it, both Daves, amen. I'll talk to both of you since you don't know which one. Colonel Sanders and Dave, amen. And were you here when I sat up here tonight? I said, I see him with that beard and that goatee, and if his face is a little bit chunk here, he looks like just like Colonel Sanders back there, amen. That gray hair, you know. So anyway, I was, what was I saying? I lost it now, man. Amen. So, see, I had a guy ask me, he says, what are you gonna, and I was at the children's home in St. Louis, Michigan, what are you gonna do? What's your plans for the future? Because he knew I wasn't gonna stay there the rest of my life, you know, with my wife and kids. And I said, well, I plan on going into evangelism. He said, really? I said, yeah. He says, you play guitar? I said, no. He says, can you sing? I said, no. He said, do you do illustrations? You know, like, you know, I don't like the term magic, but you do those illustrations, you know, to fool people to make something, you know. No. Do you have a dummy? I said, I'm the only dummy in my family I know of, amen. And I said, no. Do you do anything? What can you do? You play piano? No. And he said, what can you do? I said, well, I think maybe, I hope I can preach a little bit. He says, don't go into evangelism, amen. He's an old preacher from years ago. And I've been doing it for 30 years, hallelujah. Isn't God good, amen? Sing, he says unto the Lord. Let's say if you can or can't. He said, just sing. Oh, ye saints. Aren't you glad you went down a sinner and came up a saint, amen? Oh, ye saints, watch. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Give thanks. Thank you, God, because you're righteous. Thank you, God, because you're holy. Thank you, God, for your purity. Thank you, God, for not turning your back on this lost, sin-sick, dying world. For not turning your back on this convict, the prison cell. Amen. For not turning your back on the drunk, the drug addict, the thief. Amen. Thank you, God. For not turning your back on the little boy or little girl who called unto you innocently. Amen. Before they got into that stuff. Which, by the way, can I make this statement? We all have the same testimony. We're all safe. But if you base your testimony on what you have or have not done, you got the wrong idea of your testimony. But I just say this all the time. To young people. See, I don't know when you got saved, brother, sister. I don't know when you got saved. But it was an early age, praise God, because you were kept from a lot of things that I went through. And I say this along with that. Your testimony is better. Pastor, your testimony is better than mine could ever be. When it comes in that thought of testimony, although we're all safe from the same thing, amen, eternal damnation, all the same testimony in that realm, but you were saved at an early age, your testimony is better than mine could ever be, because God has kept you and held you in His hand and kept you safe and kept you out of the garbage of this world, and you just thank God for that. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. And now He has saved us, and guess what? Now He keeps us out of the garbage of this world. We have to thank God, amen, for what He's done in our lives. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The characteristic of thankfulness. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you this evening here for a moment. I'm looking in this room. Probably everyone in this room has been born again, saved by the grace of God. But I need to ask, are you sure? Are you sure? You say, Brother Mike, I haven't been very thankful. Well, maybe you need to be saved. I don't know. I'm just saying, are you sure you're saved? Is there anybody tonight with an upraised hand saying, Mike, I have a question about that in my life. I'm just not sure. Could you just pray for me this evening? Anybody at all like that? Second question, I don't see any hands. Praise the Lord. I hope you know for sure. I really do. I know for sure. I hope you know for sure. Second question is this, Brother Mike, would you just pray for me? Because the Lord pointed a couple things out to me tonight, something out to me tonight that I need to apply to my Christian life. How about it right now? You just put your hand up in the air and say, that's me. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You put them down. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what you've done here this evening. Thank you, Father. I pray, God, that I know, Lord, sometimes I get off track a little bit, and God, forgive me. Lord, thank you for bringing me back and bringing my thoughts back. But thank you most of all for your word. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for your purity. Thank you for your holiness, God. Thank you for being God. Thank you for dying for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. God, we are so thankful. We just don't say it enough, Lord. God, help us not just to say it with our lips, but help us to live it with our lives, God. Thank you for what you've done here tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Help these, Lord, that raise their hand in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, and brother starts to play the piano quietly, and Lord spoke to your heart. You slip out and come right now. Come on, you just come. You slip out and you come. Lord spoke to your heart. Come on. You just slip out and come. Come on. God spoke to your heart. You slip out and you come. Let God do in your heart what He wants to do tonight. Let Him do in your heart. Give Him the glory. Give Him the honor. Be a thankful believer. This characteristic of thankfulness. He has something He wants you to learn as a child of God. I hope you learned it this evening. Let Him have the honor. Let Him have the glory. Give it all to Him, because we deserve none of it. And be ye thankful in all things.
In your songbooks, let's just praise the Lord a little bit in our invitation tonight. 162, to God be the glory. To God.